Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here as your people. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Pray that you'd be with our pastor tonight, Lord. I know how much he would love to be here. I know how much he loves you, Lord, and loves this people. Loves them with all of his heart, wants to help them, Lord. I pray for him that you'd be with him tonight where he is and be close to him, Lord. Give him your presence, Lord, and your peace where he's at tonight. And I pray, Father, that you'd have your way in this place. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, we need you. We can't do without you, Lord. We've tried so many times to do it without you. And Lord, it's a failure every time we do. And I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. Have your way in this service. Work your will in every heart and every life. And you, Lord, to you be all the glory for everything that's done. Lord, Lord, we want to quote my verse tonight, Lord, that you gave me. Praise ye the Lord. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Lord, I praise you tonight. I thank you tonight for your good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, I thank you and praise you for who you are and what you are. Have your way in this service tonight, Lord. Work in our midst, Lord, I pray. Lord, we recognize what we are, who we are. And Lord, also we recognize who we are in you. We recognize who you are, Lord. Have your way in this service. Get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you. We'll be here tonight. I want you to turn with me. I don't know how long we'll be before you tonight. I hope not very long, Lord willing. Hope not very long. I want you to notice, and I've preached out of this before. I'm going to preach it again. That's one good thing I've told you before about having a bad memory. You don't remember things, so you don't worry about it. But I want you to turn from oil in Exodus chapter 33. You know, right after they'd made the golden calf, and you know the tablets had been broken, and the plague came on them, and thousands died. You know, thousands died because of what they did in Moses' absence when he was on the mountain. And you know, in chapter 33, then the Lord tells him. He said, "I'll send an angel in verse 2 before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite into a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for I art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say unto the children of Israel, ye stiff-necked people, I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. I want you to notice there, he told them, now all before this time, the Lord had been leading them, you know. The Lord had been leading them. Of course, they had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the Lord had been leading them and taking care of them. And then they sinned that horrible sin. Moses was up on the mount. Went up on the mount for just a little while, you know. And they sinned while he was gone. Made him a golden calf and worshiped the golden calf. And that's what this was leading up to. And the Lord tells them here, he said, "Now I'll send an angel before you, and I'll not go in your midst, because you're a stiff-necked people." And he said, "Lest I consume thee in the way." Well, that was horrible news to them. I mean, God had been with them. His presence had been with them. And now he says, "I'm not going up with you." And that should have bothered them. It should have bothered them. The Lord said, "I'm not going to go with you." That's a horrible tidings. I hope I don't ever get that tiding, don't you? And I won't ever get that tiding either, because I'm his child. But I can imagine how it would have bothered them. The Lord tell them, "I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel with you." And the people mourned, and it burdened them. It burdened the people because the Lord said he wasn't going to go with them no more. And you know, there's a lot of churches that Ichabod's been wrote over the door. The glory's departed. And the Lord's not there anymore. And we hear tales of that all the time here of other churches. And you know, this church could be like that also. This church could be like that also. We could leave the Word of God. We could leave His Word. We could depart from His Word and leave Him and leave His precepts. And the same thing would happen here that's happened other places. But they had disappointed the Lord in what they did. I mean, they forgot very quickly who God was. They forgot very quickly what His presence meant to them. They forgot that very quickly. And you know, we serve a deceptive enemy. And it's His desire and His design to cause us to forget the blessings of God in our life. The blessings, God's blessings that He's bestowed upon us in salvation. He wants us to forget that. And He's very clever. He's very smart. He's had thousands of years to perfect His techniques. He knows my flesh. He knows your flesh. He knows our weaknesses. He watches us. He knows us. He knows what we do. He can even tell what we're thinking by what we do. He knows us very well. And He's a clever enemy. And He knows how to reach us. And it's His design and desire to get us away from God. Not in salvation, but in fellowship and communion and in testimony. Get us away from God so God can't use us. It's God's desire to use every child of His that He saved by His grace. It's His desire to use us. And the enemy, he can't get us no more. He can't get my salvation. He can't get my salvation. I said he can't get my salvation. But he can cause me to ruin my testimony if I give ear to him. If I listen to him, he can do that. But hey, we have a clever enemy, but we have a smarter God than our enemy. If we'll only listen to him, if we'll only walk with him, if we'll learn to desire his presence and his blessings and be pleasing to him more than anything else, the enemy can't get us. The enemy can't stop us. As I said a while ago, I'm the only one that can stop me. The devil can't even stop me. I mean, sure, he could persecute me. He might could even, and Lord willing, only under God's will, he might even be able to take my life, even under only God's will. And that's the only way. There's been many saints that's paid the ultimate price and died a martyr's death, but they died for the glory of God, and I know where they are today. And they're glad they did. They're glad they did. And if I do, I could be glad I did. We have a smart enemy. And we need to be careful and have God's presence. I need to be careful and have God's presence. Have God's presence. And that's my decision. That's my decision. I want always, I'm a feeling person. I'm sort of an emotional person. And I've learned that about myself also. I'm sort of an emotional person. But God, you can be emotional, not be spiritual. But I don't believe you can spiritual without being some emotional. I really don't. Some people disagree with me about that. I really don't think you can. I really don't think you can. I believe if you're really saved, I believe when God comes on you with joy unspeakable, full of glory, I believe it's going to come out somehow. I believe it will. You may not shout, you may not scream, you may not run, you may not jump. You may cry, you may smile, you may wave, but I believe when God fills you with His joy, I believe you'll be able to tell it somehow. When you have God's presence, God's not always going to fill you to the rim. You're not going to walk around like that all the time. I mean, God knows us. If God done me that way all the time, I'd probably start walking by sight instead of by faith. I'd probably start looking at all the emotions and the highs and everything I was getting out of it if the Lord let me do that. The Lord just lets us go through some hard times because He knows who we are. He knows how we are. He knows I need to go through some hard times. So you'll have to bring me back down to my knees and say, "Oh Lord, I need you again. Lord, I need you. I really do need you." He knows I'm that way. He knows I'm that way. But we need God's presence. And these people, they recognized how much they needed God's presence. They realized that they couldn't do without it. I can't do without His presence. I can't do without it. You can't do without it. God's presence, His blessings. His blessings, His presence with me, His everyday blessings, His strength, His rest, His joy, His peace, His love. I can't do without that. I can't do without that. And I don't have to do without that. And you don't have to do without that either. We'll go through some dry times, some hard times. There's never a time when God ain't working in your life. Never a time, even when you can't see Him, and you can't hear Him, and you can't feel Him, and you can't tell He's within 100 miles, by faith you can know He's right here. He's right here, and he's right here, and he's right here, and he's back here, and he's over here, and he's out there. He's everywhere.
Amen.
By faith, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. And we should know that. We need his, but I need his. Like Brother Bernie said, that's one thing that tickled me to death when I came here to this church. I hadn't been here very long, and I heard him say something about the Lord's manifest presence. I said, man, that's what I like to hear. I want a place like that. Hey, if you've been in very long, you can hear the right words, you know. And not only you can hear the right words, but you feel the right spirit. And I hadn't been here long till I heard it and I felt it. And the Lord said, this is where I want you. This is where I want you. But we need His presence. And they recognize that, oh, the Lord's not going to go with us. The Lord's not going to go with us. He's just going to send an angel. You thought, well, that'd be pretty good sending an angel. Oh, they've been used to His presence. They've been used to having Him close. They've been used to seeing that pillar of cloud every day. And that pillar of fire every night. I mean, they knew He was there. He's there. His presence is here. His presence is here. And they'd been through it before, although there was a mixed multitude. Some of them weren't even really believers. I mean, that's what a mixed multitude means. Some of them weren't even really believers. But some of them, I mean, they'd been there in it. They'd seen it. They'd seen God's workings. I mean, they saw the plagues in Egypt. They saw the provision in the wilderness. They saw all those things. And you know, the Bible says that at the end of this journey, their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Man, it's pretty long-lasting shoes. That's God did that. God did that. God can do things like that. And they recognized that. Those people, the believers, they knew that. They'd experienced His presence. They didn't want nothing else but His presence. They didn't want nothing else. And Moses, he was an old-fashioned believer, you know. I guess we could call him an old fashioned Christian because the rock was with him, you know.
That's right.
The rock was with him.
Amen.
The New Testament tells us that rock was Christ. So Christ was right there with him. I guess he was a Christian. I guess we can call him that in a way. I don't guess that'll hurt the scriptures any. He was an old fashioned Christian. We'll call him that. But he said right here, In verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence not go with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, if you're not going to go with us, don't take us. If you're not going to go with us, don't send us. Don't send us. Lord, I've got to have you with me. If you're not going to go with me, don't send me. He knew he had to have his presence. I need his presence. Sometimes it's easy to preach before a crowd like this. You know that? People that's amen in you and shouting and amen in you, and it's for you, you know, and it's praying for you and behind you. Sometimes it's easy, pretty easy to preach and around a crowd like this that you know's your crowd, your bunch. Sometimes it's easy to preach with your bunch. But sometimes it's harder to preach out there in the world though. Sometimes it's harder to bring the message out the world, down the world, when you know that they're not with you, they're not for you, they're not your bunch, they don't want to hear what you're saying, they don't believe what you believe, they don't want none of it, a lot of them don't. Sometimes it's a little harder to go out there than it is in here. Than it is in here. And I need His presence out there. I need His presence out there. I need His blessing out there. I need to make sure that I've got His blessing out there. I need to say every morning, and sometimes I forget, but so I need to say every morning, Lord, I need your presence today. I need you with me today. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go if you're not going with me. Help me to make sure where you want me to go today. Because I want to go where you want me to go because I want you there. I want you there. I need you there where I'm going. I want it to be where you want me to go because I need your presence where I'm going.
Amen.
And that's another reason we don't have His presence sometimes, isn't it? Because we're not going where we're supposed to be going. We're not where we should be. So we don't have His presence sometimes because we're not where we should be. And when we get down on our knees and pray, and that's another reason why we don't pray sometimes, because we know if we get down and pray, God, the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Hey, remember. Hey, remember." We get down and start to pray, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, remember. Remember this back here. I haven't forgotten it yet. We need to get this straightened out. When are you going to go where I told you to go? When are you going to do what I told you to do?" Let's not talk until we talk about this thing first. You know, that's the way He always does. You know that? He's God. He knows. I can get down on my knees and I can try to shoot the bull and I can try to change the subject and I can try to talk in circles, but God, the Holy Spirit ultimately says, no, let's go back. We need to get this straightened out before we go any further. And when we get it straightened up, then we can have His presence and His blessing, and we'll be glad we did. And we'll say, "Lord, why didn't I do this a long time ago? It's so much better on this side. It's so much better here than it was over there. It's so much better in Your presence than it was away from You. It's so much better with Your help than it was when I was doing it myself. It's so much better if He's doing it. It's so much better if He's doing it. It's so hard. I preached before and it's like it's pulling teeth because I knew I was trying to do it myself. And I can't do it myself. I'm a stupid country boy. That's what I am, and I know that. Don't ever tell me that to my face or I'll deny it. I'm a stupid country boy. I don't know very much. But I serve a God that knows everything. There's nothing He don't know. He knows you. If He wants me to talk to you, He already knows you before I talk to you. And He can tell me about you. He can tell me what to say, what to do. And it'll do just exactly what it's supposed to do. But if I try to do it in myself, in my flesh, it won't do nothing. It won't do one thing. It's liable to hinder more than to help. If I try to do things in my pride, and in my stubbornness and in my rebellious way, if I try to do it myself, it'll make a mess. It will. It'll make a mess. If I let the Lord do it, He'll do it all just right. He'll do it all just right. Lord says, if you're not going to go up with us, don't send us. Please don't send us. If you're not going to go with us, that's how it should be with us. That's how it should be. Lord, I need You. I need You. We need Him every day. We need Him. I don't just need Him here at preaching. I need Him walking. I need there at the school. Hey, I know the difference, and you do too. There's been days when I didn't get up right. And I went through the day, all day not right. I went through the whole day right, not right. And I felt miserable. I felt miserable. I had a burden. Everything was hard. Nothing went right. Things got on my nerves. I mean, miserable, miserable, miserable. And then there's been other days when I got up in the morning and I talked with Him. I talked with Him who's always there, who's ready, who's waiting for me, who is waiting for me. The first thing, the morning, He's already there before I awake. He took care of me all night long. He's there waiting. Talk to Him in the morning. Get right with Him first thing in the morning. Get right with Him. Get right with His Word first thing in the morning. And go to work, go to school, and you feel like there's a spring, and you step, you feel like it's easier, you've got rest, you've got peace, things go right, you talk to people, and you can feel God's love coming out of you, going to other people, you talk with people, you can help people, you can talk to people about their problems, help lift their burden, you can talk to other Christians, encourage them along, give God glory. How much different it is to have His blessing, to have His presence with you, than it is to try to do it yourself. Moses said, if you can't go with us, don't send us, Lord. Lord, don't send us if You won't go with us. That's how we ought to be every morning. If you can't go with us, don't send us. Don't send us. The Lord gave him the assurance of rest. He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I'll give thee rest. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." I mean, again, it makes all the difference in the world, don't it? Having God's presence, being in fellowship with Him, being where you ought to be with Him, and having His rest. Having His rest. Don't have to bite your fingernails off, even though I do that anyway. I've always done that. Not because I'm nervous. I won't have to do it because I ain't got no peace. I just do it out of habit. Don't have to bite your fingernails because you ain't got no peace. Don't have to go around worried and tore all the pieces and uncertain and unsure and don't know what's going to happen and don't know what's going on and worry yourself to death. Be not anxious. That's what Jesus, what the Bible said, the Holy Spirit said through Paul, wasn't it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says, don't worry about it, pray about it.
Amen.
Don't worry about it, pray about it. Turn it over to me, and my peace will keep your heart. You pray about it instead of worry about it. He said, my peace will keep your heart. And the Lord said, I'll go with you. I will go with you, and I'll give you rest. I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. He gave them rest from the power of sin, from the fear of man, from the cares of the world. He gave them the power of separation. You're my people. You're a holy people. You have no other gods before me.
Amen.
Said, that's who you are. That's who we are, isn't it? We're a separate people. We're a separated people. We're a sanctified people. Sanctified. We're sanctified positionally and we're supposed to be sanctified practically. Sanctified. That means separated. Set apart. Not just set apart. Set apart for holy purposes. Every child of God sanctified. Set apart for holy purposes. Every one of us. Don't matter how young you are. Or how old you are. You're set apart for holy purposes. And that's what the nation of Israel was. And they were supposed to proclaim to the other nations God's glory and God's praise. Tell and show the other nations who God was. That was their purpose. And that's our purpose. That's the church's purpose. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. That's our purpose. We're a separated people, a sanctified people, a set apart people. And when His promise was, I can't read my own writing. When the promise was sought, was at a great commission. He told Moses, he said, you bring this people up. You bring this people up. And I've heard different theories about how many there were, maybe from even 500,000 to 2 million, and I guess nobody knows for sure. It was a tremendous amount of people. If it's 500,000, I mean, you think about more people that lives in Rogersville and Greenville and Johnson City and Kingsport and Bristol all together. You think about taking that many people on a trip. That's how many people that Moses was leading. God told him to bring them up. God told him to bring all these people up. And I can see why Moses needed God's presence. Lord, I need you. You want me to bring all this people? Bring all this people to Canaan land? To a place that I don't know? I don't know. You want me to bring all this people? This million people all this way? Lord, I need your presence. I need your presence. It's hard telling. He certainly did need God's presence. But do you know, it's hard telling what the Lord wants you to do. It's hard telling what He wants you to do. I mean, I can't even save one sinner. I can't save one. He can.
Amen.
He can work through me. He can give out the gospel. Through His Word and His Spirit working through me out of... They that believe on Him, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit can work through you and get the Word of God out through you. And people can get saved. People can get saved. But you can't do it yourself. But you can't do it. He can't do it through you. And you need His presence. You need His power. Jesus said, you'll be endued with power from on high. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And you'll be endued with power from on high. That power is available to us. It's our birthright. It's who we are. That's who we are and who we're supposed to be. Every one of us. But are we like Moses? Are we seeking His presence? Have we got the call? Have we heard the call? And has it dawned on us what we're supposed to be doing, who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing? And have I said, "Oh Lord, I can't do this myself. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, except You go with me, Lord. Lord, unless You go with me. Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to go." I've told you before how when the Lord called me to preach that night, and I was riding in my car and I was having a good time with the Lord that night. And I was telling Him, I was just telling Him all the things. I was loving on Him, you know, and He's loving me back. And I was telling Him all the things I'd do for Him. I said, "Lord, I'll sing for You. I'll go for You." And I said, "I'll preach for You." And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, that presence. And I mean, I'd say my eyeballs got wide. It did. I'd say my eyeballs got wide. And I said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." I said, "Is that what You want me to do?" I said, "Lord, You know I can't do that." I said, "Lord, I can't even talk in front of people. You know how bashful I am." And then I heard that same presence. I sensed it again. And it was just as plain as a voice. It was just as plain as a voice in my head. It was clearer than if I'd heard an audible voice. I heard it. I heard it say, "Yes, but I can." And when I heard that, I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, whatever You want. I want to, Lord, if that's what You want. I know You can. I know You can. I know You can." And He can. And I can. He can. And He still can. And He can for every child of God. Whatever it is. I know there's some things that are specific callings that He has for certain people. I know that. But there's some things that are general commissions for every child of God. And loving Him and worshiping Him and witnessing about Him is some of them that everybody is supposed to do. And sometimes the worshiping part's real easy. But the only thing about it, if we don't do the obeying part, sometimes the worshiping part don't become so easy. And He gets me to the place that I'll say, "Lord, I need You. Lord, I can't go without You. Lord, yes, I do want Your presence. Lord, I do want You more than anything else in this world. And I want to walk with You, and I want to talk with You, and I want to be close to You." That's what Moses said down here. He said, down here, he said, "And I will give thee rest." But I want you to notice, he said, I can't find it right here. But he said, Moses said, "That I may know Thee. I want to know You, Lord. I want to know You." That's the same thing Paul said. You know that? "That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." He said, Paul said, the knowledge of Christ, he said, all these other things are just done compared to knowing Jesus. Knowing Him. He said, "I want to know Him. That's the thing I want to know more than anything in this world is to know Him." And Moses said, "I want to know Thee. I want to know You." And then after that, he asked to see God's glory. And God did show him His glory. But it was because Moses wanted to know Him. It wasn't something self-fulfilling just to satisfy his carnality. It wasn't something like that. It wasn't just his emotions that he wanted to feel. He wanted to know God. And because he wanted to know God, God showed Himself to him. God showed Himself to him. Well, I probably told you before this too. I prayed one time when I was young. I was by myself one night working. And I was praying for God. And you know how young people are. But I part of the time it's being naive and zeal. And I mean just praying things sometimes that maybe we wouldn't pray later on. But I was really praying for God to show Himself to me. And he... And you know, nothing didn't happen for a little while there. So I kept praying for God to show Himself to me. And it seemed like I heard that voice again. Joe heard that voice again. And it seemed like He was saying, I'll show Myself to you through My Word. And that's most of the time how He shows Himself to us. Through His Word. That's most of the time how He shows Himself to His people. It's through His Word. He reveals Himself through His Word. His Word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. By His Word, and He reveals Himself to us. I believe God wants His people to have special times with Him. I no doubt in my mind about that. God wants His people to have special times with Him. And the reason we don't have those times is because we're not doing what Moses did. Lord, that I may know Thee. I want to know You. That's what I want more than anything. I want to know You. I want to know You. I want to know You more than anything. That's the reason we don't have those special times. Is because we're not drawn nigh. See, if we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. That's what He said. And we're not drawn nigh very much, and so we don't have those times with our loving Heavenly Father that He wants us to have. Now, my earthly daddy, he died of cancer in 69. He was just 45. But my daddy was a good man. And there ain't a time, my daddy was a loving man. and before he, about a year before he died, he became a Christian loving man. And I'm glad of that, but I'll get to see him someday. I believe my aunt saw him there. I'll tell you, I ain't told that in a long time. But anyway, off of that, but my daddy was a loving man. And there wasn't one time, I don't remember one time, that I ever stretched my arms out to my daddy that he didn't receive me. Not one time I put my arms out to my daddy and said, Daddy, I love you. He'd say, I love you too. And I'd get in the car and go places with him, and I was close to Dad. I'd go places with him, and I'd say, Daddy, I'd like to go places with you. He said, Son, I sure do like you to go places with me too. He was like that. That's precious, ain't it? Precious to have a daddy like that. And you know, I have a Heavenly Father that's never denied me one time, that'll never deny me one time. Amen. Never deny me one time. He is my Abba Father. He is my Papa. That's what Abba means. It's a real affectionate term that means daddy or papa. Amen. He's my daddy. He's my Heavenly Father. He'll never deny me if I'll come. He'll never deny me if I come. Yeah. And I can shun Him. I can shun Him and things won't be right. I've done that. I can shun, but He's never shunned me one time. He's never shunned me one time. He's never, not one time, has my Heavenly Father ever shunned me. Never, not one time. He's told me when things is wrong sometime. He told me when I wanted to play games sometime, I wanted to play games and just act, put on a show and act like things is all right. And my daddy told me that it wasn't all right. He let me know. That's what a good earthly daddy would do too, wouldn't it? If things wasn't right, he'd let you know. My Heavenly Father, if things weren't right and I try to play games and I try to put on a show and I try to do things that aren't right, my Heavenly Father lets me know because He takes His peace away from me. He takes His peace away from me. And then when I'm willing to come right and come before Him, He's more, He's ready, He's willing, He's able, He's ready with open arms to receive His child when I come the right way. Lord, I know what I did. I know what I've been doing. I know what I should have done. Lord, I love You, Lord. And I can feel it, Lord. I love You too. I love You too. We need His presence, don't we? We need His presence. They recognize they need His presence, and we need His presence. And I'm going to try to hurry right here. But He, when the promise is sought, it was at a great commission. And let me look right here. But He said, "My promise, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And He said to him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." I'm about ready to quit. Do we recognize how much we need His presence? I hope all of you know what I'm talking about. I really do. I hope every one of you know what I'm talking about. I sort of doubt it. You know, as I said in to begin with, you know, even in Israel, there was a mixed multitude. And you know, I believe in every church, even in this church, as good as it is, as good a church as it is, and some of you have been here a long time, But even as good churches, there's probably a little bit of a mixed multitude here. There may be some of you that don't know Jesus, that don't know the Lord. So it sounds like something strange to you when people talk about His presence. And when people talk about His peace. And when people talk about walking with Him and knowing Him and having fellowship with Him, it seems like something strange. You know, I read a while back where it said, you know, we learn to mimic real good. We learn to imitate real good. And you know, when you grow up in a Bible believing church like this, you know, just what goes on becomes normal. And people acting a certain way becomes normal. It becomes normal. And around here, you know, it's normal to say amen, and it's normal. I mean, people raise their hands and people holler sometime and shout and praise the Lord, say praise the Lord and bless the Lord and hallelujah and rejoice and cry. And you know what? you know what humans can do sometime? You know, they can learn to mimic real good. They can. I mean, even if they don't know exactly what's going on, they see what people are doing. We see what people are doing, and we learn to imitate them. And we can if somebody that's not really saved, but yet you've grown up in a good church, you can see people raise their hand and wave their hand and cry and shout and say praise the Lord and bless the Lord and ain't the Lord good, and you can say, and they can learn, well, that's normal. And you know, sometimes they grow up doing the same thing, even though they don't really know what it is. And they don't know what they're talking about. They don't even understand. But they say, oh, this is good. Hallelujah. Ain't the Lord good? Hallelujah. You say, does that really go on? Yes, that absolutely really goes on. And Sister Debbie's testified about being a lost church member. Did you used to do things like that? I'm not putting you on the spot, but did you used to do things like that, Sister Debbie? But you really didn't understand. People grow up fundamental, Bible-believing churches, and around good preaching and good singing and good teaching and good worship, and then we hear people talk about God's presence, and then you know, the human brain, it's pretty smart, even though compared to God it's ignorant, but it's pretty smart, and it learns things, and it learns how to figure things out in its own mind, in its own way. And sometimes it's not the right way. And if it's a carnal, unredeemed mind, somebody that's not been saved, they can figure out why everybody, you know, they're just acting that way. They're just acting that way. I don't know if this is really real or not. I don't know if this is really real. People just act that way. And what makes it worse sometimes, if they see us slip up and if they see us make mistakes, sometimes the devil will put in their mind, see, they're just like me. They're just like me. I live the way I do, and look there, they messed up. They're just like me. They're just like me. So that's why all more we should be careful. But some people don't know what the presence of God is, even though they've been around it. They've grown up in it. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with this. If some of you are wondering if you're that, and I don't know, the Lord told me to say that. If you're wondering if you're that, have hope. The Lord will give you opportunity. Yes. I pray that the Lord will speak to you and show you and make it real to you and make Himself real to you and send real conviction to your heart and your mind. And really show you Jesus that loved you and died for you. A lot of us was in that condition before we were saved. And I even know some right now. I know some right now that's wondering if they're saved or not. And I pray for you. I pray that the Lord will be with you and help you and show you the way He showed me. He showed me. He came to a 15-year-old boy. He comes to a 15-year-old boy, and I thought I was seeking him. I didn't know no theology, but later on I found out he was seeking me a long time before I was seeking him. Found out he was seeking me. I wouldn't have even started seeking him if he hadn't done the work. If God the Holy Ghost hadn't already started searching me out, I wouldn't have started looking. I wouldn't have started asking my mama questions. Lord, mama, what does this mean? Lord, what does it mean to be saved? What does that mean, mama? See, I thought I was looking, but there was somebody looking for me. God the Holy Ghost. His presence. I grew up next to a pretty good Free Will Baptist church. I grew up right next to it. My papa was a Primitive Baptist preacher. So there was people, there was bunches of people praying for me. Them prayers my papa been preaching up in Burning Pines all them years. Set me on his lap and read his King James Bible. God the Holy Ghost was after me. It was just a matter of time. There was several of them had him looking for me. And then that night, a 15-year-old boy, I was sitting about two-thirds of the way back on this side. And that preacher preached a simple gospel message about Jesus. I heard him. He preached about hell a little bit, and then he preached about Jesus that loved me and died for me. Brother Bill Gardner, the preacher that preached that night, preached a simple gospel message. And something happened to me that had never happened before. I'd been asking questions, but all of a sudden it went from just asking questions to be, as Brother Murray described his that night at that 7-week revival, it became all encompassing. All of a sudden, everything else paled. There was nothing going on except me and a realization that I was lost. And I heard him preach about Jesus that loved me. And I started just a bawling, a crying. 15-year-old boy, I would never do that out in public. Never in my life would I do that out in public. 15-year-old boy, I started bawling. And there was a godly lady saw me, and she come over to me. She said, "Michael, would you like to go to the altar and get saved?" I said, "I sure would." And I went up there that night, and I'd been around the gospel for years. Like Brother Barry said, I'd been around the gospel for years. And I knew what it said. But that was the first night it's really real to me. And I just prayed to him like a child. I said, "Lord, I'm lost, and I need to be saved. And I want you to save me right now, if you would." And he did. I got up a new person that night, that altar, and I've never been the same since. Everything in my life since then has went from that point. Never been the same since. There's never been a day he's not been with me.
Amen.
Never been a day when he's not been with me. I've not always had his manifest presence. Now, I've not always had his blessing. But I always could have. And so I give a little bit for everybody tonight, I guess. I'm about done. But how much we need His presence. Oh, this, I love this church, and this is a good church, and I believe it's some of the best people in the whole world. Right here. I really do. But I wonder what God could do if we really sought His presence. I just wonder what he could do. D.L. Moody, they said D.L. Moody heard that man pray, or that man say it in his sermon. I can't remember who that man was now. I won't try to say because my memory's so bad. But D.L. Moody heard that man say, "It's yet to be seen what God can do through a man." He said it in a certain way, totally sold out. That ain't exactly how he said it, but it's totally sold out. R.A. Torrey, he thought that D.L. Moody was that man. I don't know. I sort of think it's yet to be seen what God could do through a man that's totally sold out. Man that'll seek God's presence and walk in His presence every day. Every day. What God could do. What things. I wonder what's keeping us from doing it. What are those little things that are keeping us from doing it? Those little things that we don't want to give up. Those little things that the enemy's lied to us about. The enemy's lied to us. He said, you won't have no fun if you ain't got this. You won't have no fun if you can't be around these people. You can't have no fun if you're not in this position. You can't have no fun if you give up your those, these things that are important to your ego. You can't have no fun if you give it, if you give this up. I wonder what we've let the enemy lie to us about. I wonder what God could do if we'd get real serious with Him. If we'd come totally clean before Him and say, Lord, I want Your presence more than anything else in this life. I want what You want. Help me to get rid of what I need to get rid of. Help me to do what I need to do that I can have Your presence every day. Help me to get rid of this thing that's taking my time. It's taking all that time that I know should be Yours. Help me to get rid of that. I know it's Yours. I know my life's Yours. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's supposed to be glorifying God in everything I do. What is it You want me to do, Lord? What do I need to do to have Your presence? Now, I can't tell you what it is for You. But You know. You can't tell me what it is for me. But I would know. I would know what's stopping me. And if you've been saved any length of time, been in the Word at all, you'd know what it is that's stopping you. But that's what God wants for us. God wants us to have His presence. And we should be like Moses. We should say, Lord, I don't want to go if I've not got Your presence. I should say, Lord, I don't want to go to work in the morning without You. I don't want to go without You. Lord, I've got to have You. Whatever it is, whatever that thing is that's keeping me from having Your presence, having Your blessing, being pleasing to You, Lord, help me to get rid of it. Help me to give it up. Lord, I want You more than anything else. If we could really pray that. If we could really pray that. See, God wouldn't just bless us in here. As I said when I started, it's real easy sometimes to do things in here. Because this is my brother and sisters that loves me. They love me. And they'll pray for me, and they'll amen me, and they'll do all they can for me here. And sometimes it's easy to succeed in here. But I need to succeed out there. Because that's where the Lord's sending me. I need His presence. I need His presence going through the wilderness. I need to live in Canaan in my experience. But I need His presence out here in this wilderness. I need His presence. They was going through the wilderness. They went through the wilderness. The Lord wanted to bring them into Canaan. We should be living in Canaan, His presence, land of milk and honey. But we sure do live in the wilderness world, don't we? And it's real easy to do it in here, but I need His presence to do it out there. I need to be spiritual. I need to be mature. I need the Word of God. I need the Spirit of God. I need to pray. I need to walk with Him. I need Him to do it out there. That's what we need. And I'm going to hush. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and grace toward us. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for how You work in our life through Your Word and Your Spirit. Lord, have Your way in our lives. Use us for Your honor and Your glory. I thank You and I praise You, Lord, for everything, Lord, that You've done. Lord, work in our lives. Help us to recognize how much we need Your presence, Lord. Help us to be like Moses, Lord, to want Your presence more than anything else in this world, to know You, to walk with You, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, to walk with You and let You work through us, let You talk through us, Lord. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, Lord, out to a lost and a dying world, out to the lost, out to the needy, out to the heartbroken,
out to those believers, Lord, that are going through trials and troubles. Lord, help us to be that. Help us to always be that you want us to be, so you can do what you want to do, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, forgive us, Lord, of how we are sometimes. Forgive us of our sin, our failures.